and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Lord, in you we've overcome. Because you overcame the grave, you overcame death to give us life. And we stand alive in you. Awaken our hearts, O Lord. Awaken our nations, O Lord. Come and have your way. Lord, that your Spirit just blows through our hearts today, even right now. Come, O Lord, come, O Lord. Yeah, we may not know anything else, but we know that Jesus, you are good, you are Lord. And I pray that even now that reality dawns in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in marriages that are strained, and even those that are full of joy. Just have a sense there's someone with a knee injury and so if that's you, just lay your hand on it and I'm just going to pray. God, just bring healing to our bodies. So speak to your pain to leave now in Jesus' name. Come, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Hey, good morning. Again, thank you for joining us. Okay, it's warming up. So, I'm going to start reading from Luke 22, 14 to 20. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down at the table. Jesus said, "I have longed to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. I tell you now that I won't eat of this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took the bread, gave thanks for it, and then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do the breaking of bread in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as sacrifice for you." Those were Jesus' words at the supper he had with his friends, the last supper he had with his friends. And when the church was born, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, it carried on with this. It became one of the things they completely devoted themselves to. And disciples of Jesus have done this for generations. And today we're just going to talk a bit about that and even share it with you back at home. I know we've always done this, but today we want to bring it to the center. Look at this. In Acts 2, which has been the centerpiece of our conversations in the last few weeks. The community continually devoted themselves to learn what the apostles taught them, gathering for fellowship, breaking bread, and praying. Everyone felt a deep sense of awe because the apostles were doing many signs and wonders among them. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all those who believed. They shared all things in common, material possessions. They sold any possessions and goods that did not benefit the community and used the money to help everyone in need. They were unified as they worshipped at the temple day after day. In homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. The new disciples praised God, and they enjoyed the goodwill of all people in the city. Day after day, the Lord added to their number everyone who was experiencing liberation. So at their homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. The breaking of bread here is a reference to the sharing of communion. And you know, this wasn't a new practice. Even as you see Jesus having this meal with his disciples, this was a Passover celebration. It was a time when the Jews would remember, when Israelites would remember their liberation from Egypt, when God passed over them and saved them from destruction, covered them from destruction. So they would do this every time to remember this. But when Jesus comes to the scene, he doesn't reinvent something new. He meets them where they are, but gives it a new meaning. He says, yes, blood will be poured out again, but this time it'll be his blood, and it will make all things new. He said, yes, a body will be broken again, but this time it will be his body, and this will make all the difference. The biggest difference here is that this was the best deal. It was a sacrifice that was going to change everything. The sacrifice that did change everything. The sacrifice that continues to change everything. You know, this was the sacrifice. This meal represented what was going to upset the kingdom of the age. And even today, that meal represented what is upsetting the kingdoms of this age, because Jesus is king. And you know, this is why I've really encouraged us to use anything we have at home. You know, Jesus didn't reinvent this. He met them where they were. God has a real knack for communicating in a language that makes sense to us. So he comes and he wants to communicate the turning of the world upside down, the new beginning of things, the new creation. And he uses a feast that they were already too used to. So that's why I tell you, God is meeting you where you are. If it's a glass of water you have, go right ahead. If it's just a pieces of crackers, go right ahead. God is meeting you where we are. It's called the incarnation. It's God meeting us. He's continually moving towards us. And even right now, God is moving towards you. You know, and seldom will it be in very rare things. It's within the relationships around you. It's within, you know, the circumstances you find yourself in. It's both through the painful and the joyous experiences you've had. God is meeting you there. So, and Jesus does this with communion. They were going to have Passover anyway, and Jesus meets them there in a meal that they had already planned. But he makes the normal new. He makes the natural supernatural. He changes things. And he does this with communion, incarnation, God meeting us where we are, God continually moving towards us. And the context of this, of the communion, was a whole meal, you know? And I think the beauty of this season we find ourselves in is we now have an opportunity in our families and in our small group of friends to actually do the whole meal, you know. We can have communion properly because we have meals planned anyway, you know. You see, it was never a piece of bread and a sip of wine. It was a whole party celebrating Jesus. And as churches grew larger and logistics and politics, hygiene, and the need for people who have the same job I do to feel in control, it shrunk down to a nip and a sip, you know, that can only be given by people who have the job I have, you know. And over time, the church even forgot how to throw a good party. You know, I think if there should be people renowned for throwing good parties, it should be believers. If there are people who should be renowned for hosting people for meals in their homes, inviting them to their table, it should be believers. You know, a sip and a nip was never it. They were sitting at a dinner table for a Passover meal that they had planned. It was just any other Passover that turned out to be not any other Passover. So they were sitting for a meal that they had planned, and Jesus gave it a new meaning, and Jesus invited them to something deeper, and the church continually devoted themselves to this. The church continually devoted itself to sharing in communion. You know, it was such a spread that Paul, one of the apostles, had to actually give a few warnings later on because some people, because it was a party, some people would come to drink themselves to getting drunk. You know, so Paul's telling, don't do this unworthily. Some people would not eat or come for communion and eat like gluttons. So Paul was saying, come on, eat at home. So when we hear, we're doing something special. But that tells you it was a whole meal. So in this season, I've really loved the fact that in this special thing, we can actually do it properly. You know? Something the church devoted itself to. So could you and your family devote yourselves to this? And, you know, it could be as you join us for Sunday celebrations, you have a whole breakfast with you, and you have your whole family sitting with you. So it's not just a nip and a sip. It's a whole meal with you, your family, or friends, and with Jesus. It could be your Friday night dinner, you know, as you begin the rest of the weekend. Whatever it is, could it be something we devote ourselves to as the church did? The grand story I have been telling in this series is that we're living through a generation-shaping season. We're living through a generation-shaping season. And if we are going to change the world, because Jesus is inviting the church, Jesus is inviting you to step into the story of God, and if we are going to change the world, we have to take our place in the story of God, and we can do that by actually, you know, looking at the church as it started and the things that the Holy Spirit led them to, the devotions they had, the things that they made sure they did everything in their power to make sure they do, you know? And so I know it's already hard for some families to have dinner together, let alone one of those dinners becoming a time where they share Jesus together. Yet that's the invitation. I think this is why it's their devotions. Humanity has a very bad habit of wanting other people to do this God thing for us. You know, we'd rather pay someone else to do this God thing for us. The picture I get is the story of the nation of Israel. It's being set free from Egypt. And they're in the wilderness, and God says he's going to meet them. And they're given a few instructions on how to prepare for God to meet them. And on the day God was going to meet them, the earth is shaking, the sky is acting up. It's everything is trembling. And they go, okay, Moses, their leader was called Moses. He tells them, listen, you meet with God, then tell us what he says. You just sit in between us. And to this century, we have a knack of doing that. We want, you know, let's pay someone else to do this thing. We're pushing God out of our society. We're pushing God, trying to push God out of our school system, so that we just box him to church. And in church, we hope that the professional church people will do this for us. Let them give us communion. Well, do it at home? No. Let's wait till the church reopens and we can receive it from the church. What if the invitation is, hey, you can do this with your spouse. You can do this with your kids. You can do this with your small band of friends. You can do this even on your own, back at home. You know? And I think, the biggest invitation, every time Jesus invited people, he said, follow me. You follow me. It's not just believe the right things. It's My heart breaks because we're living in a generation where people want to claim they believe the right things, and they do. They believe there is a God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They want to believe the right things, but they don't want to follow, because then that starts demanding that they act, you know? And I think it's following Jesus. The reason following Jesus is more important, the reason being a disciple is more important, is because it's following Jesus that births true faith in us. A faith that won't just be shaken the next minute. A faith that can endure the test of time. It's not just believing the right things, but following Jesus. It's doing the things he did. It's speaking the way he did. It's joining him in what he's doing in our county, in our nation, and in the world. God, where are you? Because that's where we want to step into. And I think that's why the early church made certain devotions. They did everything they could to devote themselves to gather together every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every race. Even though nothing in their culture would have invited them to that place, they devoted themselves to it. Why? Because Jesus invited them to that place. They devoted themselves to the Word of God, to everything the disciples taught them. Why? They wanted to be formed by God's Word. They knew that Jesus is the living Word of God. This has to be something we choose to do. This is how we follow Jesus. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to giving generously, both radically and habitually and spontaneously. They devoted themselves to sharing Jesus. Peter, one of the leaders of the disciples, later on writes to the church and says, "Don't forget, be ready to always share the reason for your hope." They devoted themselves to doing this thing. They devoted themselves to always break bread, have communion, and share meals together. Paul, apostle I was talking about, later on writes a letter to the church and says, every time we share in communion, we are declaring, we are proclaiming the death of Jesus, the death that made all the difference until his return. Every time we share in communion, we are joining, our body is joining, our community, our family is joining in praying, God, your kingdom come. Every time we are making that prayer alive in our bodies, God, your kingdom come in us and in our city and in our families and in our marriages and in our schools. Every time we share in communion, we're declaring, God, your kingdom come. The judgment, the mercy, the power of resurrection, the forgiveness, the healing, the restoration, all of it, all that is the kingdom of God. Every time we share in communion, we're declaring, God, your kingdom come. Jesus said, do this to remember me. And this is not just about recalling to memory. That's the common use of that word. Hey, remember, recall to memory. This is not just about that, but it's the exact opposite of dismembering. When something is torn apart and it is brought back together, that is remembering. It's put together, you know. His body was broken, yet every time we share in communion, our dismembered bodies, our dismembered hearts, our dismembered minds are put together again. We are remembered. Sin tore us away from the Father, but every time we share in communion, yet again we are remembered to the Father. We are rejoined to Him. You know, the church is the body of Christ. And every time we share in communion, the body of Christ is remembered again. It is rejoined to Him again. The church is the body of Christ, and right now we are scattered, but every time we share in communion online and you guys and girls back at home, we are remembered to Him and to each other again. So Jesus says, do this to remember me. It's bigger than just bringing to memory. And sometimes families and communities are torn apart as relationships are sometimes strained. And every time we intentionally devote ourselves to communion, we are remembered again to each other. You know? A church that is healed, a church that is being healed, a church that is united and a church that is being united, a church that is forgiven and a church that is forgiving, a church that is joined to Jesus, a church that is continuously remembered to each other and to Jesus, is the church that will make a difference in the season we are stepping into. So will we in our families make this a devotion? Something that we do everything in our power to ensure it happens. So why don't you guys and girls get ready to share communion with me back at home? Just get your bread or whatever you have at home today and your cup. It could be wine, it could be juice, it could be water. Just let us be remembered again. When Jesus shared it with his disciples, he said, "Do this in remembering me." And this is so spiritual, yet so deeply human at the same time. You know, we all want to be seen. We all want to be remembered. He's saying, let it be, please. We all want to be seen. We all want to be remembered. He's saying this, my friends, don't forget me. You know, maybe if he knew this song, he would have sung, don't you forget about me. Or maybe he knew, if he knew this other one, he'd have sung, I just wonder, do you ever. Jesus is saying, remember me. Remember me, don't forget me. Even when we're having our meals, breakfast, dinner, Jesus is asking, do you remember me? Am I part of your gathering? Am I part of you doing life? I say this because, you know, I realize that this is a lonely and hurting generation. That doesn't want to risk vulnerability. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jesus wears his heart on his sleeves, you know? The dinner is starting and he says, listen, I have longed for this dinner. I know what it is to long for something. How much deeper does it get when God himself is longing for something? So Jesus is so open in both godly and humanly ways, saying, I have longed to sit with you, my friends, to have this dinner. And it's not too far out of this scene that Jesus is arrested and he has some friends and he says, just hang on with me. I'm heavy today and I need my friends with me. Jesus isn't afraid of being vulnerable and he's doing this at this table, something our generation is not very, very open to. You know, how unafraid is God to open his heart to people? Yet he knows the hearts of human beings better than anyone else. He knows the kind of betrayal that often lurks behind the human heart. But still, Jesus is very okay with opening his heart and saying, guys, girls, I have been longing for this meal with you. Then he goes ahead and says, and remember me. Every time you guys and girls do this, remember me. Maybe it's because Jesus also knew the capacity of love, healing, reconnection, reconciliation, and joy that God has put in the heart of human beings. Probably because we were made in his image and likeness. These have been very difficult times for some people, emotionally, mental health, separation from loved ones, you know, the real fear of tough economic times. We lack the distraction of crowds. I personally do, you know, and I pray that today as we share in communion, you will be remembered again. You will be made whole. And if that's you, we'd love to pray with you. These have been times where people have feared the infection of being infected with COVID-19 or just being sick. And some people have fallen sick and wouldn't go to the hospital because, well, what if they test them for COVID-19? Or, you know, just the whole shebang. And today as we share in communion, I pray that your health will be remembered. You'll be made whole again. You know? So what if we don't rush through it? What if at the table of communion, we meet a vulnerable God looking at us and saying, I have longed to be here with you. I have longed for you to share this. And I can't wait until we share it in my kingdom come completely. What if we are aware that God is meeting us at the table of communion, a vulnerable Father, a Father with a heart that isn't afraid to be open, to show you the things He feels for you, to show you the things He thinks about you, to show you the things He's planned for you. You know, and maybe we are also being invited to a bit of vulnerability ourselves, not just with God, but like God, also be vulnerable with the people at our table. What matters to you? What hurts today? What gives you joy? What are you longing for? Where do you need help? What is it that needs to be said to God from your heart? He's not afraid to go there. In fact, every time we share in communion, He's meeting us in that place and we are remembered again. So Lord, we bless you for your body that was broken for us to be made whole. So Father, today I just pray for every broken body. Father, as we share in your broken body and we are being made whole, I pray that